Welcome to Solutions OP Clinical Trials Podcast. My name is Olga and I'm the Managing Director of Solutions OP. We are a small team of experienced professionals working on clinical trials in the United Kingdom. I'll use our podcast to discuss hot topics in clinical trials and provide analysis of the latest trends and challenges in pharma and medical device industries, not just in the UK, but globally. Thank you for listening. Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast. Today, the topic is, I hope, interesting topic, at least for me, and I think for many people who work in the industry and generally involved in clinical research, that will be an interesting topic. It's called Failure by Protocol Design. And I know it's a bit unusual, and I'll explain in a bit what I mean. So the topic of today's podcast is protocol design. And when I say protocol design, I mean that the design of the protocol for clinical trials, not just commercial clinical trials, but all type of clinical trials. But let me get to that point. And first, I'll give you a bit of a background, what I'm talking about. So according to data published by Nature magazine, the chance of success of a clinical trial is average 9.6%. So when the analysts focused on new molecules, the overall success was even lower. It was 6.2%. So when they looked into novel biologics, including antibodies and gene therapies, the performance was a bit better, so the overall success rate was about 11.5%. And as you can imagine, this is very low. it's crazy low percentage of success rate for clinical trials. According to a researcher from the London School of Economics, the average cost of developing a drug is $1.3 billion. Now, if you look into a medical device, the estimated cost of developing class 2 medical device is in the range of $30 million. So it is lower, but, you know, it's not that low anyway. So all that brings us to the question, you know, you have development of drugs and medical devices, you invest so much money, and at the end of the day, you have such a high failure rate. So what could be the possible reasons why there's so many failures why the clinical trials are not successful? So one of the first explanation is that just some drugs don't work for everyone. And I think this is why we are going into direction of precision medicine, where people are trying to establish if specific drug will work for specific patient. Because what we've seen is very often you have a drug that works for some patients, but it doesn't work for the general population. And the result is the clinical trial will not be successful because it doesn't help so many people who've been treated with the drug. So another big reason for failure for clinical trials is unacceptable toxicity. Sometimes it's just the drug is too toxic, and when they look at the benefit and risk ratio, it's just not worth investing into this drug and developing it on the market. Sometimes the drugs could have a poor pharmacokinetic properties. So that's another issue that, you know, if it builds up in the body and it's not removed properly, you know, then you have a problem. So that's another big issue. There are other reasons, let's say. Sometimes there is a lack of commercial interest. You know, in each disease area, very often you have a competition between different companies developing drugs targeting the same condition. And by the time you get your drug on the market, it could be that someone else has something better already with a better response rate and And that automatically, it will remove the interest in continuing developing this product because it will be difficult to sell it, especially if it's something there is something better on the market already. But there is another reason which I think it's very overlooked. And this other reason is the failure of clinical trials because of poor protocol design and study management. And I think lots of people say, ah, come on, it can't be just the protocol design that your study will fail. But actually, I will give you an example with a study I've worked on, which was purely failure because of the design of the protocol. But let's think about designing a protocol for a clinical trial. To design a protocol, you just need people with knowledge, with experience. You need a multidisciplinary collaboration to have a good protocol. So, writing a good protocol is not something that you just sit down, you write it, and that's it. It's ready. And I've seen not just as part of my work, but also as part of a member of an ethics committee, I've seen many protocols. Some of them are really good, but there are loads of protocols which are very poor as a design and as a overall execution. And even when we review these, you can tell straight away they're not going to get a good data out of this protocol. So today I'll just give you the example of the study that I've worked many years ago on this project, and it was really unfortunate. It was a big investment from the company, and the result was very poor. But let's say what happened first. So the study was one of these novel designs, basket protocol design, where you have different indications which are treated with the same medication. So these were three different indications, and it was the same medication that was given to the patients. What the company did is they hired a physician who was specialist in the one of the indication, and that person wrote the protocol. Then the study struggled to recruit. It was a big challenge. It was really crazy to get patients on the study. There were lots of protocol deviations because, people were trying to fit in patients so that they can recruit them into the study. At the end, anyway, the study finished, and they had their data, and they submitted for marketing authorization to FDA. And FDA didn't accept their data. They said it's not reliable. They had issues with the design of the study and with the overall results of the study and the way they're presented. So the company had to go back to the drawing board and create a new protocol, run another study to collect more data, to submit again to FDA, and get their drug approved. So, as you can imagine, that took quite some time. In the meantime, there were other products which were approved on the market. So, the overall, I'm not sure what kind of profit they had when they finally get marketing authorization for their drug, but there was a clear delay and there was a clear issue because of the design of their clinical trial. But let's explain now what happened. So what happened is the physician who wrote the protocol, he did a great job, but he did he wrote a protocol from his indication point of view. So he wrote the protocol which is suitable for the patients he treats because this is what he knows. And the company didn't involve any other physicians from the other indications. Instead, they thought they can manage it themselves. They can just adjust it. They can read what's required and, make it flexible so it could work for all other indications. But the result was The eligibility criteria for some of the indications were actually excluding patients from the other indications. So it was like running in circle. Some patients could be recruited, but the other indicate they can't recruit patients because this one is actually a limitation. And, you know, the patients need to take this drug in the other indication. So if it's prohibited, they can't participate because they are on this drug already. So that was one of the big challenges. Also, because of these issues, everyone was trying to get patients in somehow, you know, even not quite eligible patients try to put them on the study simply because, you know, you try to reach the recruitment target. The company was not interested to amend the protocol at this point because the feedback they were receiving from all the physicians, they had to do some drastic changes in the protocol. So they decided, no, we'll just go ahead with whatever we have. We cannot change it now because it will be a completely different study. Another big issue that we had with the protocol is that the protocol did not consider the standard of care of all indications in the different countries. Because it was a global clinical trial, you have sites in Europe, we had sites in Africa, we had sites in USA, we had sites in Asia. But even though the standard of care is similar in different countries, it could be actually a bit different between the countries. So that was another limitation where in some regions they couldn't recruit the patients. At the end, they decided to go ahead and recruit like majority of their patients from Eastern Europe. But I think this was kind of a red flag for the FDA, because you have the majority of the patients from just one region where the standard of care could be quite flexible. So I think this was a red flag for FDA that something was not right with the whole study. If you cannot recruit in the other areas and you just go to one region and recruit majority of your patients there. So there were really a lot of issues, a lot of follow-up with the sites and trying to get patients in, and lots of discussions why they can't get patients in. But the final result is, you know, even after they completed the study, their data was not accepted. And all this could have been avoided if they decided to do a proper research, if they decided to write a proper protocol considering the different indications and see if that's actually even realistic. Can you write a protocol where you have three completely different indications treated with the same drug? Maybe it was some kind of cost-effective thinking from their point, but the final result is that it doesn't cost them less, it actually cost them more, a lot more, because they didn't do it right the first time. So that was, you know, that unfortunate thing that happened to a study I worked in the past. So what is my main point is that writing a protocol is a very important thing. There are lots of companies and people who offer medical writing services. But we need to remember that you cannot rely on one person writing your protocol. You need to have people, a team of people with experience and knowledge who work together. You need to consult with patient organizations. You need to consult with physician who is a specialist working in that disease area, in that country, to see if there are any challenges, to make sure that you remove these challenges so these people can recruit their patients. And you design a protocol which is adequate so everyone could actually recruit patients into the study. So writing a protocol is not just using a template. It's not just having one physician or someone with PhD write it down for you. It requires a lot more planning, a lot more analysis, and a lot more people involved to have a really good protocol. And that good protocol will actually pay you back because you have good results, and these good results will help you to have your study and your drug approved at the end. So if you're working on a clinical trial and if you're working on a protocol, think about all these things and try to make it work for you and for the patients. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that was an interesting topic for all of you.